Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We are absolutely going to have to change that intro. That intro says, from the heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States, and quite frankly, the United States is no longer and likely will never again be a constitutional republic. The Constitution, brothers and sisters, is dead. It will never come back. Its destruction is being perpetrated by American policy, and I'm not even going to say by the Barack Obama administration, because George Bush, for 8 years before Barack Obama's now 8 years, did his share of shredding the Constitution. John Ashcroft, for his time before our current Attorney General, spent plenty of time shredding the Constitution. So the problem that I see is that the one stopgap we are supposed to have to keeping the administration and the legislative branch from shredding the Constitution, the Supreme Court, is standing by, cheering on, and even helping out in that shredding. So, yeah, that's it. The Constitution is done. We are no longer now, and we'll never be, again, a constitutional republic until such time as we fix the Constitution and make it more in line, I guess, with what Americans want. I've been on the bandwagon for a constitutional convention for some time now. Why don't you get on that bandwagon, too? Why don't you write to your state legislature and tell them that you want Missouri to make a call for a constitutional convention, for an Article 5 constitutional convention? If you don't know how that works, open the United States Constitution. You do have one, don't you? And read Article 5. It's pretty easy to understand, and it's not so easy to do. But listen, we have a group in control of this country who doesn't believe in the Constitution, and that's okay. You're allowed to not believe in the Constitution. You just aren't allowed to not believe in the Constitution and not do the Constitution. You can believe in the not believe in the Constitution, but you got to do it anyway, or you should. I mean, morally, ethically, you should do it anyway. It is the Constitution of the United States of America, for goodness sakes. This is the Friday Night Roundtable. Once again, for 2 weeks in a row now, there's nobody else here but me. So I kind of thought that would get fixed as the election got over, but no, people are out doing other things tonight, winding down from the big stress-filled week or big stress-filled year, I guess. This is really an adrenaline letdown for most people. It has. It's not the week. It's not even Tuesday night. This has been a year of hard work for a lot of you. Listen now, we're at 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. We're going to talk about a little of the demographics, a little bit of how things broke down. See if we can't use that a little bit to analyze where we'd ought to go from here. There's 15,530 of you, 531, 15,531 of you out there within the sound of my voice. Why don't you call on in here and get involved in this discussion? 347-677-1835. Do you know that 63% of the people who voted claimed that they either support or are neutral to the Tea Party. 45% said they support the Tea Party, and the rest of that 63% said they are neutral to the Tea Party. So 63% said they support or are neutral to the Tea Party. 53%, a little bit more than one in two of that demographic, voted for Barack Obama anyway. Now listen to this. When asked what was most important, what is most important, what is the most important issue to you in this election? What is the one factor that weighed on your vote more than anything else? What is the most important issue in this election? Economy or deficit? 74%. 74% of the people who cast votes said that the most important issue was the economy and the deficit. Of those people, 3 in 4 voted for Barack Obama anyway. Three of four people who were asked said that the economy or the deficit was their most important issue. So knowing that the most important issue is the economy and the deficit, 3 in 4 of them voted for this man anyway. I mean, that plays heavily into our analysis of where America is at, what's gone wrong here, and what we need to do next, in my mind. Want to know where this guy who says that he's in charge of the economy, who 3 out of 4 Americans voted for anyway, knowing that 3 or 4 Americans for whom the economy or the deficit was the most important issue voted for. Welch Allyn is a company that manufactures medical diagnostic equipment. They've announced that they're laying off 275 employees. That's 10% of their entire workforce. Dana Holdings Corporation, a global auto parts manufacturer in Ohio, laying off 27% of their workforce of 25,500 people. Stryker, they make medical devices. They're laying off 96. And the medical device tax over the next 5 years will cost them 5% of their global workforce, 1,170 positions. Boston Scientific, they make medical devices. They're going to cut 1,200 to 1,400 jobs in the next 3 months. Medtronic, they make medical devices, 500 jobs. Smith & Nephew, 770. Abbott Labs, 700. Covidian, 595. Kinetic Concepts, 427. St. Jude Medical, 300. Hill-Rom, 200. There is, you know what, this isn't a conspiracy. This isn't even a surprise. These companies were called doomsdayers or naysayers when they told you they were going to do this if Obamacare went through. They were holding on till after the election to see if someone could get elected that would keep this from happening. Someone didn't get elected to keep this from happening. They told you what was going to happen. And it happened. I mean, go figure. Three out of four people said that the economy or the deficit was the number one issue for them, and 3 out of 4 of those people voted for Barack Obama anyway. Listen to this. You want an idea of what's going on here? You want an idea of what the average American's vision of the future is? When asked what was the most important qualification in a candidate, 61% said has a vision for the future. Of that 61% who thought that the most important quality in a candidate was has a vision for the future, one in two voted for Barack Obama. So one in two people who think that a vision for the future is the most important thing in a candidate for president, one in two voted for Barack Obama. Americans think, the Americans who voted, believe that Barack Obama has a better vision for the future. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about something that warped, about something that, man, I hate to just keep using these trigger words, but something that socialist, something that fascist, something that oh, I give up. Of the people who thought unemployment was the biggest problem facing our country, 54% voted for Barack Obama. Of the group of people who thought the biggest problem facing our country was rising prices, 49% voted for Barack Obama. Half of the people who thought that unemployment or rising prices were the biggest problem facing our country voted for the cause of unemployment and rising prices. It can't be simpler than that. It cannot be simpler than that. If you want to ask yourself, what the heck is going on here, it can't be simpler than that. When asked what is the condition of the economy, 45% of the voters said not good. Not good. Of that 45%, 55% voted for Barack Obama anyway. And when asked if taxes should be raised to fix the deficit, 63% of the people who voted said no, said the taxes should not be raised to fix the deficit. Of that 63% who said taxes should not be raised to fix the deficit, one in three voted for Barack Obama anyway. Now, did those one in three people not understand that Barack Obama wants to raise taxes, theoretically, to fix the deficit? Well, let's sidetrack here for a minute. Barack Obama wants to raise taxes on the wealthy, but Barack Obama does not want to fix the deficit. Barack Obama is already talking about how he's going to spend the money. What are we going to do to spend the money that we save from these wars? What are we going to do to spend the money that we save from these wars? Well, we don't have any money that we save from these wars. That's all been borrowed money. So if he's going to spend the money that he was spending on the wars, he's going to borrow it. I mean, you don't get to talk about what you're going to do to spend the money that you're no longer borrowing next year unless you plan on borrowing it again. You know, our $1 trillion deficit is two-thirds the responsibility of these wars. We are borrowing the money to pay for these wars. Sometimes you got to do that. All right. In these particular cases, we probably didn't. But sometimes you got to do that. But then you don't get to say, well, so when we're not fighting these wars anymore, I'm going to take all that war money and spend it on Obamacare or building bridges or sending spaceships to Mars or whatever the hell. You just don't borrow it anymore. You're not fighting the war, so you don't borrow the money anymore. But no, not us. We talk about how we're going to fix the deficit, but in the same breath, we talk about what we're going to do with all this windfall from not fighting the war. There isn't any windfall. It's borrowed money. It's debt. That wore me out.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Some of you 15,000 plus people out there within the sound of my voice, give us a call tonight, 347-677-1835. We've talked about how ridiculous this demographic is, how the demographic shows that people want, they didn't misunderstand, they weren't duped, they want what Barack Obama brings. They do. They want what Barack Obama brings. Newsflash, Petraeus resigned today. Petraeus, General Petraeus, of Gulf War fame, of Afghanistan fame, then called home by Barack Obama to be the head of the CIA, resigned today over a scandal, over an extramarital affair. Who knows how long anybody's known this extramarital affair was going on. It doesn't matter. This isn't a conspiracy theory that I'm talking about here. This is just a coincidence. I know it is. General Petraeus was scheduled to testify next week at the Senate subcommittee hearing about the murders in Benghazi, about the attack by terrorists on an American facility in Benghazi that was totally unguarded, that was totally unprotected, on the anniversary of 9/11. General Petraeus, the head of the CIA, was scheduled to testify before that committee, and now he will not be testifying because of this resignation. Go figure! Okay, so what do we do? What do we do? We know we've established that people weren't duped. We've established that people weren't fooled. People in the United States of America, by a resounding majority, I'm not going to say overwhelming majority, not a mandate majority, but by a resounding majority, want what Barack Obama offers. They want what Barack Obama has brought for the last 4 years. They want him to bring more of it. I mean, we've talked about it. People understand that the economy and the deficit are the most important issues. By a huge majority, the voters picked those as the most important issues, and 3 out of 4 of those people voted for the president anyway. The president caused the economy to go down. The president caused the deficit, doubled the deficit, has worse employment numbers than he had, has increased energy prices intentionally, which increased the prices of everything intentionally, has participated in an over-regulatory, mean-spirited attack on business that has caused businesses to stop hiring people and now to lay people off. So with 3 out of 4 voters understanding that economy and the deficit were the most important issues facing the United States of America, 3 out of 4 of those people voted for Barack Obama anyway. So you can do nothing now but understand that the majority of American people want what Barack Obama brings. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to do it tonight. I don't generally read things word for word when I come here, but I'm going to read something word for word tonight. And check our busy phones. We don't have any busy phones, so we'll just jump right to it. This is a blog I wrote yesterday, and it basically says in what will be called by hard right-wing conservatives, which one of which I am not, folks, and if you've listened to this show, you know that, as blasphemous. But the title of this piece is "It's Time to Work Together." And here's what I said. Clearly, the American people want this socialist state. Now, we've just established that. Clearly, the American people want this socialist state. Clearly, the people want medical care, food, clothing, home loans, cell phones, and Sesame Street to be part of the human rights to which every American is entitled. Clearly, if we believe what we say about the government of, by, and for the people, a government that derives its authority from the people, we need to work together with this administration to assist in giving the people what they want. It is their government. Now, a lot of my white right-wing friends are going to say, no. It's not a constitutional government. No. It's not the right thing to do. No. It's going to fail. All these things are true, you know, but that's not the point. The point is that we come on here night after night. You go out there day after day and demand your rights and demand your country, saying this is a government where that derives its authority to govern from the people. Well, brothers and sisters, you may not like it. I certainly don't like it. But the people want what Barack Obama brings. The people want what Barack Obama promises. And the people, by a clear majority, want this government. This piece goes on to say, exit poll question. Is the government doing too little to solve problems? 43%. Or doing too much that should be done by churches, businesses, and individuals, 51%. So at the exit poll, 51% answered the question that the government was doing too much, and 43% answered that the government was doing too little. Those don't add up to 100 because there was another question in between that went doing just about the right thing, and it got 6 points. So 51% of the people answered the question at the exit poll that the government is doing too much. 43% answered that the government is doing too little. The article goes on to say, does this not tell you something? No. Because of the 51% who understand that the government is doing too much, 1 in 4 voted for Barack Obama. So clearly the real number is 56% who feel the government is doing too little and 38% who feel the government is doing too much. That, my friends, puts us in a vast minority. Now listen, and I said this last night when I was BSing with Kevin on his show. There are two kinds of children in this world. One is the one who you can tell him, hey, Charlie, the burner is hot, okay? Watch. See, I'm frying an egg here. I'm boiling water. Hold your hand here. Hold your hand way up here, 6 inches above this burner. Feel the heat. See the red? That's hot. Don't put your hand on that burner. It will burn you. And Charlie gets it. There are children like that. The smart children get it. However, there seem to be some children who, regardless of all the talk, regardless of all the facts you give them, regardless of all the science about what heat is and what heat does, regardless of all the history and the real-life demonstrations you can give them by holding their hands six inches above the fire, there are children who, after all that, just got to put their hand on the burner to check it out. Well, you know, we are that child, America. This country is that child. History proves this is going to fail. It has never succeeded. Never. Yes, there are plenty of countries on the ash heap of history who've given this a try. But you're going to hear your friends from the left say, by God, it does work. You know, nobody complains in Canada. Nobody complains in England. Nobody complains in France. Nobody complains in Spain. Nobody complains in Australia that their health care system isn't working. I just named you five countries that are flat-ass broke and probably not going to survive the next decade. Probably not. They are playing ring around the rosy, bailing each other out. Germany, the strongest economy outside of the United States, in the Euro-American zone, is going broke from bailing everyone else in the Euro out. Germany is calling their gold home from places that they have it stored abroad and trying to keep from going off the cliff themselves after having spent a decade now bailing everyone else out. It doesn't work. The math doesn't work. The history doesn't work. These countries are dead ass broke. They're all talking. Every one of them is talking about austerity. Does anyone here not know what austerity means? It means that within the next very short period, somebody in every one of those countries is going to stand up in front of people and say, I'm sorry, you don't get everything that you think is a human right. You don't get everything that you feel is owed to you by the government. And they're going to start with health care, which is the biggest drag on the system. I mean, we're watching it right now unfold in front of our eyes. And the American people, we got to put our hand on the burner. We just got to. We got to do it. So let's just get on with it. Let's get some education going here, okay? To get educated, we got to put our hand on the burner. We got to get some blisters. Let's get on with it. Here is the worry in my mind, and really, it's a worry, but there's nothing to do about it because we got to get on with this. We got to get on with this education. But here's the worry: has America? I mean, I know it's lost its intelligence. I know it's lost its foresightedness. Has it lost its soul? Has America lost its soul? Because you know what? After all that I've just said about the math and the history, both math and history show that this can work. What Barack Obama is trying to do here can work. It can work inside the math, and it can work inside the history. It's worked for some period before. It's working some places now because some people are willing to make the choices as to who lives and who dies, to make the math work. Some people, some countries, always in the past have, and some are now, showing a willingness to make a decision within their system of who lives and who dies, of who to marginalize and who to keep on the bandwagon. And that's the only way you make this math work. Now, if America hasn't totally lost its soul, then as soon as we get an awakening to the fact that the math isn't going to work for us any better than it has ever in history for anyone else, that it just isn't doable, that socialism only works until you run out of other people's money. If when we come to that realization, we will be at a crossroads, and that crossroads will be, do we make the math work, or do we look for another way? And that is going to be the decider. That is going to be the decider in the United States. And believe me, do not kid yourself. There will be tremendous pressure. Tremendous pressure. I don't care who's at the helm of this ship when it happens. There will be tremendous pressure from the far right and the far left to make the math work. There will be tremendous pressure to make the math work. But if the majority of Americans have not totally lost their soul by then, they will come back. And so, brothers and sisters of the patriots that are still left in this country, of the 45% who got it Tuesday night, that's your mission. We're gonna have to stand by and let the kid put his hand on the burner. We're going to have to leave the kitchen and leave the child alone. We can't stay in the kitchen and slap his hand off the burner. We've tried that. We tried it for 4 years, and you see what happened. We lost this election. After all of this is said and done, why do people think that it's okay to vote for Obama when the economy and the deficit are the number one problem? Why do people think that it's okay to vote for Obama when the vast majority of them think that the most important quality in a candidate is that he has a vision for the future? Why did an overwhelming percentage of people vote for Obama who saw that unemployment and rising prices were the biggest problem facing Americans today? Why did the majority of people vote for Obama who saw that the economy was not in good condition? Why did the majority of people who said that taxes should not be raised to fix the deficit vote for Obama anyway? The reason is because the president was able to nudge you, Americans in the majority, into believing that this is somebody else's fault but his, that this is George Bush's fault. We've even heard things about tsunamis and earthquakes. We've even heard things about Arab Springs. And now we're going to hear about storms on the East Coast. We've heard all the things that could be blamed. But the biggest blame in the mind of the American voter who said that the economy and the deficit was the most important issue in this country but voted for Barack Obama anyway, the biggest blame for them lies in George W. Bush and in the quote-unquote obstructionist Republicans in Congress, in a Congress, by the way, that you all know President Barack Obama had in his pocket for the first 2 years. So we've got to get out of the kitchen. I hope that I know Boehner is taking a lot of shit right now. Boehner is taking a lot of heat for even suggesting that there's a possibility somewhere that there can be a compromise that allows for an increase in marginal tax rates on the wealthiest Americans. He needs to just back off. He needs to let that happen. I'm serious. He needs to let that happen. When Barack Obama comes to us in 3 months, and he will, he'll have to. He will absolutely have to. Asking us to increase the debt ceiling. I hope we do. Without any argument. Because when the math that cannot possibly work out catches up, and when the history of the world catches up with us, do not let anything be to blame for that failure but the policies that led to that failure. You can only take so much money out of the economy. I don't even want to talk about rich and poor. I don't even want to talk about wealthy and unwealthy. I don't even want to talk about where the money comes from. The money comes out of the American economy, and you can only take so much money out of the economy and do nothing productive with it until that economy just quits producing any more money. Don't talk about where the rich people are going to move, or whether the rich people are going to do something else with their money, or whether the rich people are going to hide their money. Forget about where the money comes from, brothers and sisters. Here is a pool of money called the United States economy. It's all of the money that you and me and the guy who lives next door to you and your husband or wife and your father or mother and the people at your church and the people that you work with, it's all of the money that they make all year long producing things and making things and creating things. All of the money that is a result of that creation, of that ingenuity, of that hard work, of that hard labor, that is a pool we call the U.S. economy. And you can only draw so much money out of that productive economy, regardless of where that money comes from, and use that money for non-productive stuff before it just quits giving you any more money, before there is no more money to take. When we reach that point, someone's going to be blamed and someone's going to hurt. Now, we've missed our chance. We missed our chance on Tuesday night of turning this thing around with minimal. And it wasn't going to be with lack of pain. There was going to be some pain when we turned this thing around. But we could have turned it around with minimal pain. With minimal pain, a 10-year balanced budget, a revision in the way we pay Social Security, the way we collect Social Security, major revisions in the way we dispense Medicaid and Medicare. We could have done that with minimal pain, but that day is past. It's going to be very painful because it's not even going to start until the money runs out. The change isn't going to start until the money runs out. And you know, as well as I do, the money's going to run out. So your mission is to hold tight to the values that made America great. Hold tight to individualism. Hold tight to the thoughts of capitalism and free markets. Hold tight to the fact, to the ideal that every American born can be whatever their talent allows them to be. Without restriction. If they have the talent, they can be it. That's America. Hold on to that, because if things go even marginally well, when the money runs out, when the kid puts his hand on the burner and gets burned, he'll come running out of the kitchen looking for first aid. And you can be there to give it. You can be there to help, because it's going to be painful. It's going to hurt us all. It's going to hurt. I'm sad to say that it's going to hurt the people most who think they are being helped now. Now listen, okay? I don't want you to be too hard on your friends on the left. Your friends on the left, most of them. Now, this is not true of the upper ranks of the administration. The upper ranks of the administration came to Washington, D.C. Your friends, your next-door neighbors and your friends at church, they don't want to hear this. But it's a fact. They came to Washington, D.C. with a background and a history and an education in Marxist government. They came there with an agenda to destroy the American economy and turn it into a socialist communist state. That was their agenda. But understand this. Your friends on the left, the folks at your church, the folks at your work, they're not bad people like Barack Obama is. They really think it's good for the government to pay people. They think it's really good for the government to ensure everyone has a Big Bird. And everyone has a cell phone. And everyone has food and clothing and a home mortgage wrapped around their neck like a millstone in this economy. They really think those are good things. I mean, God bless them. They do think they're doing their Christian duty, and we're going to talk about this when we come back for the next break. So don't be too hard on them. Just be loving. Be understanding. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. The thing is going to crash. The math is going to make it. History dictates it. It doesn't work. Just be there, be kind, be loving, but be ready to explain to them what you've been trying to explain for 4 years now, 8 years, 12 years, because I'm including George Bush in this and his unpatriotic act of borrowing $4 trillion. Be ready there with the message you've always had that this can be fixed. It's going to hurt, but it can be fixed. And all you've got to do to fix it is to accept the truth of individualism, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness being bestowed on every human being by whatever creator or nature you want to say, and that a government has only a certain very limited power and responsibility to the people.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Come back. I am going to rant the rest of the hour about the Christian right and the Christian left, and how none of it is Christian. You call 347-677-1835 if you want to spare yourself that.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Brothers and sisters, the government of the people, by the people, and for the people will not perish from the earth as long as you on the right don't make it. The people have spoken. The people have spoken. They want this. The burner is hot, and they got to stick their hand on it. The people have spoken. Okay. I was so inundated this week by friends of mine from both sides of the political aisle, and again, for those of you who might be in here for the first time, 15,529 right now. For those of you who may or may not be here for the first time, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't figured it out from all the stuff we've been saying so far, I'm not right and I'm not left. I'm not conservative. I'm not Republican. I'm certainly not liberal, progressive, Democrat, or socialist. I'm a libertarian. I believe in the enumerated powers of the Constitution being the only powers that belong to the federal government. I believe the Founding Fathers got it right. I believe in free markets and mercantilism. I believe that those things, history has proven, are what made America great, are what allowed this nation, to pull an entire world out of two world wars, two depressions, two massively horrible depressions, numerous catastrophic natural disasters, and kept us for that 200 years that we were saving the world, the shining light on the top of the hill that Ronald Reagan talked about, where people all around the world wanted to be like Americans. I mean, is that something we're ashamed of? What the hell is that? Is that something that is that 200-year history something that we're so ashamed of that we want to just trash it? That we want to strive for mediocrity? I was inundated by people from both sides who came home from the polls, and I heard it. I heard it from progressives. I heard it from conservatives. I heard it from socialists. I heard it from Republicans. That they had voted their Christian conscience. They voted like a good Christian. They voted for Barack Obama because Barack Obama believes, like Jesus did, that it is our duty to feed the hungry. That Barack Obama believes, like Jesus did, that it is our duty to shelter the homeless. That Barack Obama believes, like Jesus did, that it is our duty to clothe the naked, to care for the women and children, to love the orphans and the lost. And yeah, Jesus believed that. There isn't any doubt about it. Jesus taught it to every one of us, whether we accept it or not. Whether you're a Christian or not, Jesus said it. Okay? It's that simple. You can be an atheist, but you don't get to deny that Jesus said those things. Okay? And so where is it that you people on the right don't understand that if you're going to vote like a Christian, vote like a Christian. If you're going to vote like a Christian, you need to vote your conscience. You need to vote to feed the sick, to feed the hungry, and to heal the sick, and to house the homeless. What is it that you people on the right don't get that if you're a Christian, you vote like a Christian. You vote to take care of these people, like Jesus said. Well, my brothers and sisters on the left, you got it all wrong, and it's heretical. It is blasphemous. You know, first of all, Jesus did these things in the world for one purpose, and I am telling you right now that no one gets their food stamp check with a note in it that says go and sin no more. I'm telling you right now that no one gets their Medicaid with a note inside that says go and sin no more. It's nothing godly about what you're doing. There's nothing Christian about what you're doing. What you're doing, brother and sister on the left, is paying somebody to do your Christian duty. You need to take that tax money that you're sending to the federal government, and you need to take it down to the soup kitchen, and you need to buy some soup, and you need to serve some soup to hungry people. You know, that's what Jesus said. He didn't say send some money to Uncle Sam so Uncle Sam can feed some hungry people. He said, you get your ass out of your living room, and you get down there in the gutter like I did, and you feed some hungry people, and you house some homeless people. You don't get to pay somebody to do that for you and then come and tell me that you're doing your Christian duty. Blow that out your butt. But anyway, you folks on the right are probably all chuckling now. It's your turn. You voted your Christian conscience too, didn't you? Huh? You voted against abortion, didn't you? Huh? Didn't you? You voted against gay marriage, didn't you? Well, why are you any better? Why is it that you think you get to use the government, that you get to say, oh, I don't want to stop abortions. I want the government to. Oh, I don't want to be part of going out into the streets and the playgrounds and the boys' club and the girls' club. I don't want to be part of going out to the park and down to the grocery store and out to my Elks Club lodge and talking to people about what's right and what's godly and what's Christian. I want the government to do it for me. How are you calling on the government to do your Christian duty any less than the guy who thinks that he can pay the government to do his Christian duty? I mean, how is it that you are not saying, okay, let's let the government do this. The churches aren't doing it, so let's let the government do it. The civic organizations aren't doing their job, so let's let the government do it. Listen up, brothers and sisters on the right. If you would spend one-tenth of the amount of time out in the streets, out in the playgrounds, trying to turn this into a nation of God-fearing Christians, instead of spending all your time trying to turn it into a Christian nation, we wouldn't have any more abortions. We wouldn't have any more poor people. We wouldn't have any more homeless people. You know? When you go out and do what you're chastising your friends on the left that they ought to be doing, when you're going out dishing out the charity because you don't think the government ought to do it, what's wrong with saying, hey, yeah, all cool, go and sin no more. Here, let me tell you about a better way to do it. Let me tell you why it's in my heart to want to do this. The moral depravity of this country doesn't stem from Washington, and the fix for it will not stem from Washington. It is that simple. The fix will come from where the fix is supposed to come from. Monday night, the Hour of Truth. Wednesday night, the Culture Vigilante. Thursday night, Hillbilly Logic. Friday night, the Roundtable. Not too round tonight, just me here again. 2 or 3 weeks in a row. It's just been me here ranting with you for an hour nonstop about the libertarian way of life, about how things are supposed to be, and how the way things are is different than the way things are supposed to be. Remember, the people have spoken. And as suck it up, stay with your principles, stay with your values, know what's right and what's wrong, but get out of their way. Get out of their way. The people have spoken. This is what they want. Let them have it. Speaking of charity, we're almost at our goal of the Secret Santa. Will you not, you know, what we do with the Secret Santa, if you haven't been paying any attention, is we, on Christmas Eve, right at the last minute, we go out to four stores. If we meet our goal, four stores. If we exceed our goal, 5 or 6. If we don't meet our goal, then 3. And we find randomly scattered throughout the state a store where some parent or parents have put some toys on layaway, and it's apparent, because it's late on Christmas Eve now, that those toys are not going to be bought off. The parents are behind a couple of 3 payments. The toys are not going to make it to the Christmas tree. on Christmas morning. We don't ask anybody's politics, brothers and sisters. We don't even care why the toys aren't there. We don't care if the family lost their job or just decided not to go to or quit their job. We don't care because it's about these kids. You know, you've heard it for three months now. It's about the kids. Well, this is about the kids. This is about the kids. We don't ask any questions. We just do it. And we do it anonymously. And we do it lovingly. This is the way it's supposed to work. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org in your browser right now. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button, please, and send us $3, $5, $10, $100. I know this is the worst time of the year for us to be begging you for money, but we're so close to our goal right now on this Secret Santa thing. And it would be a shame to lose it now. $1, $3, $5, $7, $50, $100, whatever you can afford. Whatever you can afford for some child whose parents had the best intentions when they went and put these toys on layaway of bailing them out. Could be a car issue. Could be a car repair. You don't know. Could be a lost job. Could be a sickness. Could be poor money management. Who knows? And who cares? It's a kid that isn't getting their toys for Christmas. $1, $3, $5, $7, $100, $50, $30, whatever. Whatever you've got. Whatever you can afford. 100%. No overhead in this program. Zero. Zilch overhead. No advertising. No gas money. No salaries. No nothing. 100%. Of this money goes to this cause. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. In the top, it's the Secret Santa button. And you can use PayPal to send in whatever you can afford. Lisa Payne Nager is the culture vigilante on Tuesdays. I don't know what she's got going. Monday, though, this week, in the Hour of Truth, we're going to, of course, carry on in our tradition of starting the show off by telling you the news that nobody else is telling you. Did you hear anything on ABC or NBC about these layoffs? Nah, you didn't. What you did hear on ABC and NBC, though, was that that the reason for the stock market decrease in the last 3 days has been because companies are worried that the Republicans in Congress are going to obstruct the president. Well, bullshit. Bullshit. These companies have been telling you folks who voted for 6 months what was going to happen. We're going to board our doors. We're going to stop hiring. We're going to start laying off. We're going to stop producing so much because this guy wants to take it all from us as fast as we can make it. You know, I'm so tired, so cotton picket tired of hearing about the unpatriotic damned capitalists who don't care about the country and the economy, and they're laying people off because they're heathen. No, listen, I don't care what kind of an economy you live in. Nobody starts a business so they can create jobs. You don't start a business so you can create jobs. You got a business in your house, huh? That you started to pay your family's grocery bills and to pay your mortgage, huh? When you started that business, did you consider it your responsibility to hire someone right away? Did you start that business so that you could be a job producer? No, hell no. You started that business to make a living. You started that business to and you know, I know you hate to say the word. I know you hate to connect the word money to make it a living if you're on the left. But you started that business to make money. Now, hiring people, that is a necessary fruit of your labor. If you're good and you get big and you make enough money, you need help to make more. You know? So your desire to make more money benefits society. But don't rap on the guy who wants to make more money. He didn't start that business because he thought it was his social duty to, hey, you know what? When I get out of high school, I'm going to go to college for 4 years and I'm going to start my own business because I think every American ought to hire people. Bullshit. Bullshit. When you get out of high school, you're going to go to college for 4 years or not, and you're going to go find a damn good job so that you can make more money. So that you can feed your family, so you can pay your mortgage, so you can have a nice home, so you can put good clothes on your kids' back, so you can join the PTA, so you can go to the golf club, so you can have two cars, so you can have daycare. You want to make more money. And a result of you making more and more money is eventually you hire people. You have to hire people to keep up with the money you're making, to keep up with whatever the product or service is that you're delivering to people to make money. So hiring people isn't the objective. It is just the side effect of people doing business. So I don't want to hear any more about these damned unpatriotic people who aren't sucking it up and giving up their livelihood because the president is extracting money from their rectum every time they turn around so that he can pay for your Christian duty to everybody in the country. But you don't hear about any of that on NBC or CBS. You don't hear anything about the layoffs. What you hear is how the stock market decline is the Republicans' fault. And that's what I've been saying the whole show. Don't let it be your fault, Republicans. Brothers and sisters, don't let it. Republicans, you haven't convinced me that you're going to put anybody up next time better than Mitt Romney. All right? Don't misunderstand me here and think that I'm on your side and that next time you're going to wow us with some candidate who's just going to come in and save the world. You're not going to do it, okay? But don't let it be your fault. Don't let it be your fault because it is ultimately important that when the math catches up and when the history catches up, that we have a cultural change to save this country that is centered around, okay, we tried that and it didn't work. And as long as you are providing the avenue for there to be any other excuse than, okay, we tried that and it didn't work, you are prolonging the pain for everyone. Thanks for listening, folks, to me rant for an hour. Thanks for coming along to Missouri Grassroots Radio. Thanks for joining Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Thanks for your Secret Santa contributions. Have a great, great weekend, and God love you all.
God bless America.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.